You're listening to Sarah Talk. It's political.
You could run a fucking pet Brock against Donald Trump, and I would vote for the pet Brock.
Yeah.
That's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Critical.
One of the things that drives me nuts as an atheist is that my polling location is at a church. And I don't necessarily have a problem. I'm not going to like burst into flames walking into a church.
Now, after being on this show and having heard your viewpoints on some things, my advice to you is don't test this. I won't burst into flames.
And positively LGBT positive.
In many states, you can still be evicted from housing simply for being gay or transgender. Stand and fight with us.
Oh, and occasionally, completely absurd.
I don't know if you've ever seen the lightning bug, but he flies around with a flame, a light coming out of his behind. The lightning bug got a flame coming out of his butt.
It's a beautiful night tonight. All the sodomites are out.
And now, from Orlando, Florida, your host, Sarah Austin.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, we're back.
We're back.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, we're back.
Yeah, we're front. Sometime we're back.
For some of you, this will have felt like a whole week.
For most of us, this will have felt like a whole 30 seconds.
Most of my love life.
So, oh, that's terrible.
I wouldn't
don't
tell
get
people
it in my
that.
Drink.
Wow. Don't I would tell never. That. It would float, but I would never.
It won't be. I've had balls in my drink before. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Jesus Christ.
You'll be fine.
Balls are flying.
It'll just make
everybody
it a little. It'll make it a little salty. It'll be all right.
Salty.
All right. So, this is kind
better
of
better than Harry.
This is kind of part two, but not really.
Don't choke, swallow it down. Swallow it down.
Becca in the house.
Hi.
Michael Kaplan in the house.
Michael's here.
Brandon Taylor in
Who
the house.
Cares?
Yeah, the fourth chair minority apparently.
Oh my God! Listen.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Do you want to know? Yeah, I wanted.
And then she yells instructions at me, listen.
No, I wanted you to sit over here.
Oh, I said,
listen, Brandon, I wanted you to sit next to me, but Michael said, I'm not letting anybody sit next to you.
I know.
No.
I understand. So you chose nobody to sit next to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of anybody, you chose nobody. It's okay. It's okay.
He got here first. Had you arrived first, you would have been.
I'm sure he always does come first. I'm considerate.
Oh
Coming
my goodness!
Everywhere.
Wow!
A theater well, near you.
Oh, to get around.
This isn't a video
in 3D.
Hey, just some calendar reminders for you: June 16th in Munn Park in Lakeland, Florida.
Polka Pride.
We'll be at Polk Pride. What is that? 10 to 3.
There is a baby sleeping
in
the next room.
Why do we do this?
Because we can't leave our children alone in the house while
selfish.
We go to.
They're selfish.
And then the following weekend, June 22nd through the 24th, is Pride 48's streaming weekend that we did last year and had a lot of fun.
Still no assignment on that yet.
This is Future Sarah in the Sarah Talk newsroom with a breaking update. Sarah Talk will be broadcasting with Pride 48 on Saturday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit pride48.com for more. And now, back to your regularly scheduled programming. I actually work that weekend because my schedule got jacked up. So it will very likely be like sleep all day, get up, do a show, and then go to work.
Get a new job.
I know.
Get a new job.
Please.
Do it.
Please.
That's what I'm trying to tell her to do.
Yeah, I need to make a certain amount of money in order to be able to do that, though.
Yeah, I need to either go back to work or...
and yeah.
I mean, do what I do. Get
you
on the pole.
Do sex operator.
I'm saying, get on the pole.
Get on the pole.
I mean,
because,
I got on
an
IV pole, but still.
I'm a stay-at-home mom, and it wouldn't be very nice if I'm going, oh, yeah, baby, you like that? And then you hear screaming toddler in the background.
That is not true.
Not sexy.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, some people are into that.
Does that make you feel good? Hold on, I'm changing diapers.
Some people will pay extra to hear kids in the background.
That's disgusting. And those people are nasty.
That's disgusting, and money
is why,
green.
This is why you don't get your own microphone.
And then he shows up.
You know, it's kind of like integration. You also have the building to yourself, and then they upgrade it to something colorful.
Okay, so...
Oh, I'm 2 for 2 today.
You're so giving all kinds of twos.
Give me ideas for the Pride 48 show. I want to do something fun that's not... Like, I want to keep... Because Pride 48 is a network of queer podcasters.
And so I want to keep the topics in that kind of vein. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the, you know, the preachy atheist right. show this time, but okay, well,
there's
so
an oxymoron, preachy atheist.
Well, you know. So let's rip into this because there's a lot to talk to.
We're getting lots
to talk about. God damn it. You guys have so much to edit.
You gave us the bell. So
I literally just did that. Go gentle.
You better not be editing any of those bells out.
You need to get up on the microphone if you're going to talk.
I can't. Someone took mine.
I didn't take it. It was given to me.
You can hear
it.
It's given to me.
What?
It's called affirmative action.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
What's that do?
Oh, now. Yeah, but this
Oh, but yours is limp.
Having issues getting it up.
Okay. Okay, there you
go. Give me that.
Now, No. All right. Well, they had it for a show. You can have it for a show. Okay.
Affirmative action in action. So, I win again.
Wild.
White privilege, you fired.
So,
oh my God.
All right, so that was fun. Now we're going to go down into the dark.
We're going down.
So a lot of these stories I've been saving up, and because we're on vacation and this episode is pre-recorded and we're not actually here, some of this stuff may be old already, and there's probably some new information that's come out, but hey, we're on the beach right now, so who the fuck cares, right?
Yeah, we're on the beach right now.
You're not, but Becca and I are.
Oh, shit. How are you here and I'm not here?
It's magic.
But let's start the news segment this week with we've got to talk about we haven't talked about it yet, the shooting in Texas. Our first episode after the shooting, I was just fucking gutted and I really didn't want to talk about it. So, to those of you who have been wondering why it's taken a while to talk about it, there you go. It's becoming so frequent that there have been more students killed at schools in America in 2018 than people in the United States military.
Wait, there was another shooting and people are surprised?
Right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm that person again.
Oh, that guy.
And just as much as I'm just overwhelmed and tired of it all, but we have to keep talking about it. So please know that, you know, it's okay to take some time because shit, the stuff in the news is overwhelming and there's a lot of terrible shit going on in the news, and it's okay to turn the TV off for a little while and like self-care, okay? But don't completely shut down. We have to come back and fight this shit. So the 17-year-old boy who killed 8 students, 2 teachers, and wounded 13 more at Santa Fe High School has been charged with capital murder and aggravated assault. And there's a lot going on with this incident, so I thought we'd tackle some of these things. First, Shayna Fisher is a 16-year-old girl who's killed that day. Did you guys see this story about what her mother is saying?
Yeah, I did.
The video games.
So she says that the boy who committed the shooting had been making advances toward her daughter for the past 4 months, that she had been denying those advances. And so a couple days before the shooting, Shayna stood up to him in class and publicly told him, like embarrassing him in front of everyone, that she wouldn't go out with him. And so what we have here is a man problem.
Another white boy who didn't get his way.
Yes. When you look at the profile of all of these shooters, right? You want to call it a mental health issue? Then why aren't gays shooting up the schools? We get bullied.
Yeah, we do.
Well, so it's bullying? No, it's not. And you go down the line with every one of those arguments and you just fall short. And what you come back to is white boys. You're absolutely right. That's what it comes back to.
Crazy ass white boys.
So the defense attorney for this boy is now saying that wasn't the case. He says his client did not recognize the name Shayna Fisher and that even they do not understand the motive. But on the assumption that there was no connection, that Shayna's mother may be like trying to make sense of the completely senseless death of her daughter, what we have to acknowledge is the vast majority of these shooting sprees are committed by white men, white boys. What factors are toxic masculinity and gender roles playing in this problem? Because it sure seems like a pretty low common denominator. Why is it that boys are shooting up schools at alarming rates and not girls? Why aren't girls shooting up schools?
Well, when you're accustomed to being a minority, getting angry is something that you do very well because you've had time to learn how to process those emotions. but I guess as the overwhelming majority now facing the fact that, oh, wait, but I can't do what I want just because my penis is pink.
Right.
I guess now I have to actually follow the rules because the rules don't just apply to everyone else, but now they apply to me. Well, I'll just get angry and shoot everyone because I have a mental disability. Or I was misunderstood, or I was bullied, and then I'll go on parole for two years. It'll be cool,
right?
It's fine.
And the thing I don't like about the this is a mental health issue is how dismissive that is. Like, okay, fine, you may have mental health. Fuck, when we all have mental health issues, but you're still responsible for your actions.
Correct.
You know what's right and wrong. It's wrong. Right.
Right.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Right.
Attorneys argue that they understand the mother wasn't particularly involved with the daughter, but also consider that defense attorneys are trying to keep everything quelled until the facts really play out. They say that their client is very disoriented and still in a state. The boy did tell investigators that he, quote, did not shoot students he did like so he could have his story told. He was planning on killing himself at the end of all of this. Well, look, we're not going to give you the satisfaction of repeatedly saying your name on this show, but I will tell you about the victims. So headspace warning, if you're not in a good place to hear about this, skip ahead. Jared Black was 17 and loved art. Shayna Fisher had just turned 16, loved art and music, and was described by a friend as someone who stood up to bullies for others when they were younger. Christian Garcia, 15, was looking forward to a new room in a house that's under construction. Aaron Kyle McLeod, 15, is described as a friendly person who always waved at neighbors when getting off the bus in the afternoon. Glenda Perkins was a substitute teacher at the school, described as everybody's favorite substitute. Angelique Ramirez is described as compassionate and funny, a loving older sister. Sabika Sheikh, 17, was due to return to Pakistan in a few weeks after months on an exchange program. She had asked her mother to prepare her favorite meal when she returned. Christopher Stone, 17, was the youngest of three siblings who liked adventure, hiking mountains in Colorado, parasailing in Mexico. Kim Vaughn, whose mom is vocally calling for gun control. Cynthia Tisdale, another teacher, who, by the way, this woman had gone back to work and was working two jobs to help take care of her husband, who suffers from idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis, a life-threatening lung disease. And the saddest part of that whole thing is, like, it may actually be her death that ends up saving his life. And that is some fucked up shit. So the family had set up a GoFundMe, and we'll put a link to this in the show notes, but they were trying to raise money for stem cell treatments, which, thank you, Christians, pretty much no insurance company will cover because we have a healthcare crisis in this country. As people learned about this story, the GoFundMe took off, and as of the time of this recording, raised nearly $150,000 to pay for this stem cell treatment. Another component of this story is that Texas loves its death penalty. And in this case, there are laws that prevent this mass murderer from being put to death. And the internet has lost its fucking mind over this. Have you seen these people who are adamantly calling for the death penalty for this kid? The U.S. Supreme Court ruled in 2005 that anyone under 18 at the time of their crime cannot face execution. And a 2012 ruling outlawed life without parole. And so the penalty here is life with possible parole after 40 years. And let me say this again, I am against the death penalty, period, for all things. But I know that this kid, as heinous as his act was, is just going to be thrown into the system and not get any real useful rehabilitation and then probably get out in 40 years and then what? Again, I don't mean to diminish the crime here, but we have to come up with a better plan than you killed people so we get to kill you back. There has to be something better. And I get it. Like, it's an argument from emotion, right? It's an emotional appeal from people who are hurting. I get it. They hurt you, you want to fucking hurt him back. I get that. However, I have some morality questions about the death penalty that I haven't been able to reconcile. And I want to plan, let's do this. Let's plan a future show to talk about death, just death in general. I want to talk about the death penalty. I want to talk about death with dignity. I want to talk about suicide, the way religions affect our view of death. Do you fear death? If that's a conversation you have a particular opinion on or thoughts about, send us an email, producer@saratalk.com. Now, again, we're recording ahead of time here, so I'm sure there will be more details coming, but oh, look, yet another fucking school shooting. This time in Indiana, Friday morning, as I was trying to lay down and go to bed, my notifications started going nuts as I learned that a student at a middle school in Noblesville, Indiana, shot and injured three people.
Surprise.
Yep. We're shocked again a week after the Texas shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Shock and outrage all over again. Noblesville Police Chief Kevin Jowitt said that a student asked for permission to leave the classroom and returned armed with two handguns. The situation was resolved quickly and the student was arrested in or near the classroom. A boy who was in the class said that the teacher, Mr. Seaman, ran towards the shooter and tackled him to the ground. Way to go, fucking teacher. Former Indiana governor, now vice president and Dark Lord Mike Pence, tweeted, quote, Karen and I are praying for the victims of the terrible shooting in Indiana. To everyone in the Noblesville community, you are on our hearts and in our prayers.
Why don't you pray some money out of your pocket?
Thanks for the swift response by Hoosier law enforcement and first responders. End quote, full stop.
Hoosier.
Hoosier. So,
did you see this teacher? He was a football player in college.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took this kid down, just tackled him football yep. style, and everybody was like, "That was the tackle of his life."
Oh yeah,
he got shot three times, and he did get released finally. That was the latest. Was he was released from the hospital after surgery? Job? Yeah,
so yeah. He's doing
well. Who shot three times?
Yeah.
So some of the arguments that you'll hear, of course, are, this was handguns, and you guys are trying to ban AR-15s and bump stocks, and what the fuck would that have done to help this? Okay, you know what? And I posted an article in the Saratalk listener group. Please fucking go read this article, because I am closer and closer to this position every day. Collect every fucking gun, round them all up, melt them all down. And be done with this. Yes, I want to take your guns away. I didn't used to. I started out with a reasonable, let's get together and sit down at the table and you can have some guns and some people can have some guns, but not everybody can have every kind of gun. I'm done with that. I'm over it. Take the fucking guns. All of them.
I'm seeing a parallel here and it's really scary to me because it's like the same exact fight that we have with our 8-year-old. You can have your iPad for a little bit of time, but when you abuse it, you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be flexible, but you get to a point where it's like, you know what? Forget it. Now you've lost everything. You're not allowed to have anything that has any type of technology involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's sad that this is, that you can compare it to a situation fighting with a child. Because this is a very adult run. Where I thought,
right?
You know, like the people that are making these laws, the people that are voting for these
mm-hmm.
bills, they're just acting like children,
right? And again, it's a white problem.
Oh yeah,
right. These are people who are so damn happy about their Second Amendment, and by God, that's just God's law. It was in the Bible. Did you know that the Second Amendment was in the Bible?
No, it is. It said, and thou shalt only white people have guns.
A book written by brown people in the Middle East. Okay.
Amen. Amen. That's our God in America.
America. What they mean is, I want my guns. Right? Now, if you're a person of color in America, well, that's completely different. You shouldn't have guns and... Look at all the Chicago. Look at Chicago.
Put all those killers in one place and they'll mm-hmm. just start killing each other. They don't need guns. They need to go back to the fields.
Oh, my God.
So, like, I'm just fucking over these arguments. I'm tired. I'm over it. guns don't kill people, but people have such easy access to guns that they're convenient for killing people. How can you not fucking see that?
And you know what's scary about this whole thing is, I'm thinking about this, and we're recording this episode for next week. Mm-hmm. And so it is very possible the average amount of school shootings that are going on right now, we're averaging right now one school shooting per week this year.
Yep.
There could very well likely have happened already again by the time we get home.
Yeah.
And right.
School in Indiana, their last day of school is June 1st.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, there's still getting out.
Yeah, there's still schools that are they're still in. And yes, there have been 23 school shootings where someone was hurt or killed so far this year. 23 shootings in 21 weeks in a school where someone was hurt or killed. So knives in cars kill people too. Well, then why aren't we seeing killings on schools at the scale of knives in cars? No. Easy access to guns, which are designed with no other useful function than to injure or kill, are still part of the problem. Yes, we have a masculinity problem. Yes, we have a white male problem. Yes, all of mental health is a component of that. All of those things add up together. But another piece of that puzzle is you can go out and get a gun real fucking easy.
And that's the common thread.
Yep.
Like, so right. I don't understand why it's so difficult to say, oh, this is the one thing that all of these things have in common. Let's just get rid of this piece. And maybe we can start working on the other things.
Because that one thing makes a lot of people a lot of money.
Well, you know what? That's bullshit.
I mean, it's easy to say that guns are the issue, so then we get rid of guns, but then you have the NRA. That's how they make their bread and butter. You're not going to get rid of their bread and butter. It's like certain companies and political officials who like to go to war because that's how they make their money.
Yeah. Well, it's ridiculous. Children are dying.
Right.
They're murdering children.
And that's what's disgusting.
But no, not children are dying. Your children are dying.
Yes.
Their children are fine. A lot of their children don't even go to school in this country.
Right.
And if you had a lawmaker whose child was shot up in a school, I bet that would change their mind.
Instantly.
Oh, yeah. They'd be like, we need to get rid of guns. There need to be all kinds of things going on.
Shit. Yes, get rid of the guns and get those things going on.
Get those things going on. Okay, let's move off of this for a week.
Are we going to a happy place anytime soon?
Well, we got to get off it first.
Yes. The end of the show is
did you just what?
Fun.
We got to get off it first.
Okay. So let's move into some LGBTQ stuff.
Okay.
North Bend School Principal Bill Lucero and School Resource Officer Jason Griggs are being removed from their jobs as part of a settlement between the district and the ACLU of Oregon. Liv Funk and Haley Smith wrote letters, which were published on the ACLU website, in which they said they were subjected to repeated verbal and at times physical abuse by fellow students. When they brought these complaints to school administrators, they were either ignored or further harassed. Haley Smith, in a letter published on the ACLU website, writes, quote, "The discrimination wasn't an isolated incident, and it didn't just come from students. When I told the principal that my civics teacher called me out in front of the whole class and said same-sex marriage was, quote, pretty much the same thing, end quote, as marrying a dog.
What?
The principal told me everybody has the right to their own opinion. The next day, the teacher apologized, but as I walked away, he said, quote, don't go marrying your dog.
Piece of shit.
Another student, Liv Funk, writes, quote, an attack happened on what some people call the smoker's trail, a small cement path hidden between a line of trees and a fence. It juts out from the northwest corner of the school and down a small hill to an area where people often get picked up after class. Two boys were on the path yelling slurs, and I told them they were being offensive. I told them I was gay and had a girlfriend and that they may not want to say that. One of them said, well, I fucking hate homos. And then he whacked my ankle with his skateboard. I reached out to stop him from hitting me again, but he grabbed his skateboard again and smashed my right hand. She had to go to the hospital and have x-rays done. I spoke with a school resource officer and gave him a rundown of what happened. His response was stunning, but not surprising in hindsight. He said that if I'm going to be an open member of the LGBT community, that I should prepare for things like this.
Whoa.
So remember, kids, when you're born, whatever it is you end up being that you did not choose to do, physical assault is okay.
Physical assault is fine. You should have been prepared for that.
You shouldn't have worn that dress.
The officer said that being gay was a choice, and it was against his religion, of course. He said that he had homosexual friends, but because I was an open homosexual, I was going to hell.
Oh, my God.
So can I be like a closeted black?
Sure.
Right?
How's that
work? I get real tired of being followed around in stores by people who won't help. Like, it's one thing if you're going to follow me, but at least carry my bags in the process.
Right.
Like, make it convenient for everybody. You get to watch me. I don't have to carry anything.
Right. But that's not all.
Of course it's not.
In another incident, Smith writes, I'll always remember when Liv and I were headed to off campus for lunch one day. We were walking in the school's back parking lot when all of a sudden the principal's son sped right towards us in his car. We thought he was going to hit us. Instead, he drove right up next to us, yelled out, "Faggot," and veered away. It was terrifying. The principal's son. And a third student, who will remain anonymous, contacted The World, which is an Oregon newspaper, saying that she was handed down a punishment after missing a few classes and needed to make up the time through detention. She said, quote, being forced into an ultimatum to either read the Bible to him, the alleged school administrator, or he wouldn't sign off on my time made up to graduate high school. Is an abuse of power. Definitely is. When I was young, I thought that he was just doing that to me because he is a family friend that I have known since I was in diapers. But now I'm learning he does this to other children. I want him to get what he deserves. He abuses the fact that he's got an adult voice in a sea of young people, and it's sickening. So the district issued a statement that the Bible being used as punishment was an isolated incident that was resolved. And yet, still others are coming forward. There was a hearing scheduled May 24th, but since we're recording ahead, we're missing the follow-up on that. And hopefully we'll be able to get caught back up when we come back. But here you go again, right? Like, you want to do that shit in a private Christian school, go right ahead. Like, I would never send my kids there, obviously. But you're in a public school that's taxpayer-funded and should be religion and state separated. Like, hate us all you want, right? But you have a fucking duty to educate children. And that doesn't involve any of this shit.
No.
And not that any of us should be surprised by this, a 2017 LGBTQ teen survey put on by the Human Rights Campaign Foundation and the University of Connecticut, the largest survey of its kind, shows that this kind of LGBTQ bias affects the health and well-being of queer teens. No shit.
Yeah.
They studied more than 12,000 teens from 13 to 17 years old from all 50 states and D.C. Here are some of the things that they found. 77% of LGBTQ teens reported feeling depressed or down over the past week. 95% reported trouble sleeping at night. Over 50% of trans and gender expansive youth said they can never use school restrooms that align with their gender identity. Over 70% report feelings of worthlessness and hopelessness in the past week. 20% report that they were forced to do sexual things they did not want to do in the past year. Guys, we're talking about 13 to 17-year-olds here. Oh. 11% have been sexually attacked or raped because of their actual or assumed LGBTQ identity. 77% received unwanted sexual comments, jokes, and gestures in the past year. Only 26% said they always feel safe in their school classrooms. Only 13% reported hearing positive messages about being LGBTQ in school, and only 12% received information about safe sex that was relevant to them as an LGBTQ person. And 67% reported that they've heard family members make negative comments about LGBTQ people. only 5% said all of their teachers and school staff are supportive of LGBTQ people.
Oh my God.
13 to 17 year olds. And you wonder why we, as a community, have the highest, one of the highest rates of attempted and completed suicides. You should be fucking ashamed of yourselves. Here are some of the comments that these kids said. Like, these are verbatim. I overhear anti-LGBTQ slurs on the bus every single school day. Counselors never say that you can come to them about LGBTQ subjects. I just don't go to the bathroom at school. I've had friends who were harassed about it and don't feel comfortable using them. I live in the Bible Belt. Also, I'm afraid that any information or questions that I have aren't confidential between me and my counselor. I'm afraid he'll call my parents or try to convince me that my sexuality is wrong. I go to a conservative school where being lesbian is frowned upon. I don't want them to send me to something like conversion therapy if I talk about being part of the LGBTQ community. I'm homeschooled by my conservative Christian mother, who is rather queerphobic, even though she claims not to be. Any resurgence of the topic of queer people typically results in attacks on my identity. And there's a lot in this report, and we can't address it all, but I'll put a link to the show notes of episode 113. So for those of us in the room who are queer identified, what was your school experience like? And knowing that this was, for some of us, longer than others ago. Were you out when you were in school?
No.
Did you know? And you were living in the closet. Were you aware when you were in middle school, high school?
High school I knew, but in the closet. But younger than that, more confused. People would call me gay. But I had no idea what the hell they were talking about.
Right.
And not until I got into high school did I understand what that was. They said, you're gay. What does that even mean? They didn't say, oh, you know, what the fuck is that? You know?
You were so innocent.
I didn't know. It's sixth grade. You know, people just walking around saying, you know, you're gay. I'm like,
well, yes, I am happy. Thank you.
like when I was a kid, that, you know, yes, we used that to mean stupid.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that's so gay. Yeah, people said that all the time.
Yeah.
Still saying it now, and stop fucking saying that, by the way.
That is correct.
Brandon?
Yes?
We heard a little bit of your story in the past.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You were in school once.
I was.
You can refresh our memory.
Yes, I was in a Christian school.
Mm.
Oh, it was a wonderful experience. There were nuns and everything.
Oh, my.
It was like a real horror movie happening, you know? I don't think it was ever really an issue until, actually, I came to Florida. Because I ended up finishing high school in Florida. And I guess more towards my senior year, when I actually did come out, it became an issue. I can't ever say that I was ever bullied, because I was probably the meanest person in the building anyway.
No.
Well, you know. But I mean, now looking back on it, I know there were certain individuals who, certain things that were said to me, or the way things were said to me, like, we understand people like you tend to be very sensitive, which I'm probably one of the least sensitive people that you'll ever find. Or, well, I know we're doing boys and girls, but if you feel more comfortable with the girls, well, to be perfectly fucking honest, I don't like any of you, so I don't feel comfortable at all. But I have to say, moving from up north and coming down to, where are we? Hell? Florida, yeah. Okay.
Surface of the
feels
sun.
Like it. Right. Yeah.
It feels like hell. I have to say, the biggest thing that I notice is people are a lot more bold in talking about the things that they don't like about you that you can't change.
Mm-hmm.
Like up north, it's one of those subtle things of, I don't like it, so I'm just going to stay away from you. I'm going to avoid you, and we're just never going to talk about it.
Right.
When I came down here, it was very vocal. Oh, you can't hang out with us because we don't want you to hit on us. And it's like, if the girls don't want you, what makes you think I want you?
Right.
I don't want anybody's hand. Right. I was like, come on. Come on.
So prior to coming out, did the messaging that you heard to others, like that people were just the way people were talking about queer folks?
It was, I mean, blatantly, it was negative. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be like those people. It was always a us and them kind of mentality. Mm-hmm. And I almost feel like, it almost felt like being a spy, I guess, quote unquote, because I was always one of them. So I never fit in with the us category. But because I blended in with the us category, I got to really find out what they feel and think about them. And so even like even now in my work environment, I'm one of maybe three out people in the building. Well, in my department, I won't say the whole building. And so there are certain comments that I think when I was younger, I would let slide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, there you go with your man purse. Fuck you. It's a messenger bag.
Right.
Like one of those things. And then I automatically become the angry gay man, which I prefer. I'd rather be the angry gay man than the angry black man, because if I got to pick a stereotype, I want to be fabulous at the same time. So,
and one of those is much more likely to get shot at, too.
Well, that's, I mean, true. Let's face it. Both of them are likely to get shot
at. It's true.
I was almost shot at recently, actually.
Yeah, we got to talk about that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I need to hear that story.
Okay, so let's do this then. Let's take a break. And then when we come back, I have a story about a Texas man.
Of course you do.
We have a lawsuit against Donald Trump coming to a close. It's very interesting. And the NFL created a new policy about the national anthem. Can't wait to talk about that.
I remember that crack of shit.
Okay, so let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll do all of that. If you're listening to Sarah Talk.
We'll be back.
I was feeling so alone.
I was going through a really difficult time.
I was embarrassed and a little scared.
I didn't want to bother anyone.
I didn't think they'd understand.
I thought it would just make things worse.
It was tough at first, but I did it.
It ended up taking a huge weight off my shoulders.
I feel a lot better.
I'm glad I asked for help.
I asked for help.
I asked for help.
I asked my aunt.
I asked my dad.
I asked my teacher.
I asked my mom.
I asked the Trevor Project.
Now, I feel like I can get through this.
I know that I am brave.
You can do this.
You can do this.
Ask for help.
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 Whatever it is, ask for help.
If you're thinking about suicide or need support, call the Trevor Lifeline at 1-866-488-7386. Trained counselors are there to help 24/7. Ask for help.
In today's health-conscious society, you have many beverage choices. But do you know what's in all of them? So much sugar, sodium, and things you can't even pronounce. Dihydrogen monoxide. What's that? Sometimes you wish you just had a simple, more elegant solution for your beverage needs. Introducing H2O, the first ever chemical-free thirst quencher. H2O is simple. Simply composed of three portions of two elements, hydrogen and oxygen. H2O means chemical free, unlike water, which is filled with all sorts of shit. When we tested H2O, we found traces of no other elements. So pure, the bottle may as well be fucking empty, with all the same nutritional content as a breath of cool mountain air. First widely featured on Goop.com, actress Gwyneth Paltrow revealed that she exclusively uses H2O for her vaginal steaming process. After all, why use water when you can steam it with H2O? So now we invite you to run out to your local garden hose and drink that shit. Remember, it's not water, it's H2O.
H2O bottled by Flint Bottling Company in Flint, Michigan. Product not actually endorsed by Goop or Gwyneth Paltrow. Please do not use H2O for vaginal steaming, or better yet, please do not steam your vagina. H2O is actually just water. Water is a set of molecular compounds. It's a chemical. Everything is a chemical.
Want to join the conversation or tell Sarah she's wrong? Email producer at saratalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. Now, more Sarah Talk.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin. In the studio with me again, my lovely wife, Becca.
Again?
Again still. Well, we're pretending like a week has happened.
I'm always in the studio, though. It's very rare that I'm not here, which is very weird.
Well, for the show... Yeah. Michael Kaplan.
Yes, I am.
And Brandon Taylor.
Still the fourth chair in my notes. Yep.
You're never going to let it go, are you?
I'll never let go.
Well, then I'm never going to forgive you for not coming last time.
Ooh. I told you, I don't come first.
He said, I'm just getting in the shower.
No, you didn't come at all the last time you were supposed to be here.
I'm just going to get in the shower and I'll get dressed and I'll be on my way.
I most certainly came that evening.
Oh my gosh, now the truth comes out.
Did you not know what
he
time?
He stood us up for some long? Piece of peace.
She said a piece.
Oh.
It was more than one.
Oh, where's the fucking bell?
He's got it.
He's got the bell. The guy with the jokes got the bell.
I guess we're going to need to have a bell at each seat now.
Yeah, a bell,
in the words of my
button.
God, Maxine Waters, not 1 second.
My God,
not
Maxine
one
Waters?
Second was
that
wasted.
That was so good. I had pulled that out to talk on an episode, and we just ran out of time. I didn't get to it. Okay, speaking of time. So the next story comes from the great garbage state of Texas.
Oh, Gamma, Texas?
Going down yes. to Texas. I got my Bible and my banjo.
We
got to
record that. So 55-year-old former state district judge Vickers Vic Cunningham went up against attorney J.J. Koch.
Pause. Vickers Vic Cunningham.
Well, Vic is his nickname.
I'm like, did his parents run out of names?
He goes by Vic.
Oh.
So the Vic was in quotation marks.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, I didn't get air quotes. I didn't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. So he ran against attorney J.J. Koch, and I'm not, don't know if that's Koch brother related or not.
Is it spelled the same way?
Yes. For Dallas County Probably Commissioner related. In the Republican runoff on May 22nd. The winner of that runoff goes on to face a Democrat and a Libertarian, I believe, in November. But in the days leading up to the runoff, Cunningham's estranged brother came forward to tell the Dallas Morning News that Vic is a lifelong racist. From Texas? No.
Gotta be kidding.
The brother, Bill Cunningham, is married to a black man and says he has been threatened by his racist brother. Bill produced communications with other family members, including their mother, in which Vic's racism was discussed. One such example of his racist behavior is a living trust fund that he set up for his children, which rewards them for marrying a white person.
Wait a minute. I have a question. You said that his brother is married to a black man.
Correct.
So is he only racist or is he racist and homophobic?
Well, I don't know that, but probably both.
That's where things get really tricky.
But definitely racist.
Okay.
Do you have a requirement for a trust fund for your kids that they marry within the white race or not marry someone outside of the white race?
It's not a requirement, no. There are milestones set out in the trust. Milestone is you get a distribution if you get an advanced degree. Milestone, if you run for public office, you get a distribution. When you turn, you know, 35, 40, 45, you get a distribution. The same thing is if you get married. If you marry, again, I'm supporting what my beliefs are. I strongly support traditional family values. That if
racist traditional family values.
So it's like getting a merit badge. For every merit badge you accomplish, you'll get some money, but don't get a colorful merit badge because we don't want our spawn coming out looking all mulatto-like.
Exactly.
Got it.
Wow.
You marry a person of the opposite sex.
Okay, so there's...
So he is homophobic. Check.
Has to be a person of the opposite sex.
That's Caucasian.
Who fucking talks like
so,
that?
Hold on. If you marry a person of the opposite sex who's Caucasian, he said, I don't want to be racist and being PC. Caucasian from the land of Caucasia.
Yes.
Caucasian, please.
I'm going to look that up on the map.
It's Christian.
Oh, got to be Christian. Oh, got to be Christian. Yep.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Man.
Sorry, Jehovah's Witness.
Well, they're Christians.
They will get a distribution. It doesn't prohibit anything, and it doesn't say you'll never get the money. You're just not going to get that milestone distribution. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so you get...
Is it like a pyramid scheme?
Yeah, right. So
pretty much.
So it's like completing all the side quests in a game.
Right.
Like
you, yeah.
Okay, if I graduate college, I get $1,000. Okay, check. If I get married to a person of the opposite sex who's white and Christian, I get $1,000.
Check.
That one's too hard. I'm going to skip that one and do all the others.
When I own a home, I get $1,000.
Check.
Like, what?
That's so ridiculous. Oh, no.
Okay.
Why did you want to put that in there?
Because I'm a racist.
It's my religious belief that marriage is between one man and one woman.
Okay. That's wrong, but okay. What's that got to do with people
of color?
Color.
And I wanted to support my faith of being a Christian.
And what does that have to do with them being Caucasian?
Yeah!
It's, again, I wanted to support my faith in encouraging a traditional family value.
You consider it a traditional family value, as I understand it.
Yes,
to marry within one's race.
Correct.
Have you ever used the N-word?
In court?
No, in life.
Just the way he responded, in court.
I kind of want to use this screen grab as the episode graphic for this week's show.
See, okay, I hope.
Can you print it on toilet paper so I can wipe my ass with it?
Yeah.
It's not much longer, but no. Like, why, it shouldn't have, what I want to ask is, okay, so this is your belief, but do your kids practice your belief?
We'll like, get to that in just a moment.
Okay.
My question is, okay, this is your belief. Where in your Bible does it say that?
Right?
Where in your Bible, where all the people that are in the Bible are brown, does it say that you can only marry people who look just like you?
I thought there were. Wasn't there?
There's probably some scripture that has been used by churches in the past to justify.
Yeah, I know there. I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're saying is we can all take a body of text and misconstrue the context to fit whatever message that we're trying to send, therefore making said body of context null and void.
Well, exactly.
You just made our whole show null and void. Like, that's, we say that every week without actually saying it. Okay, let's finish this up.
Okay.
He's thinking.
He didn't know what he's talking about.
I bet he's fun at Christmas parties.
In court.
In context of a trial.
I think your question was, have you ever used the word in life?
No.
I bet you have.
My Negro senses are tingling. I think you're lying.
Now, he also said that his son is dating a woman of Vietnamese origin. And he, quote, can't change the terms of the trust to not punish his son over this. So it's not just about a specific interracial coupling that he has a problem with. It's anybody who's not Caucasian.
But I love how poignant he is about it.
So
he's dating a woman of Vietnamese origin. Not a Vietnamese woman, but a woman of Vietnamese origin.
Right. Origin. She's got her origin.
Well, okay, so all right, so he can't or he won't.
He can't.
Won't.
He right. He's yes. He's saying that his faith, yeah, that he's compelled, you know.
Well, okay, so does this would be my next question. So is it actual steps? Like, okay, so say you get like 10 steps and each step is an what did he call it? A milestone. So if you do 1, 2, and 3,
no,
and then the fourth one is this marriage. If you don't do 4 and you skip 4 and you do 5, do you void out anything?
No. You can. It's
so
it,
he can marry
not
his Vietnamese woman and still get the money
the
when they
stuff.
Buy a house.
Mississippi counting is valid. You can skip numbers and still be considered counting in order.
Now, lest you have forgotten, this person was running for a public office.
Oh, that's right.
According to the Dallas County Elections Department. This will lose your faith in humanity. Cunningham lost to Koch, but only by 40 votes. God bless Texas.
Can we find Caucasia on the map? I'd like to start telling people to go back to their country.
The Queensland?
Yes. Well, no, it's
Queensland is a place.
It's Caucasia. It's probably run by a white man.
It's like just on the opposite world side of the world as Wakanda.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
But their earth is flat.
Oh my, again? Did the air run out? What, it's like an air mattress?
Again? Okay, the next story.
Are you tired of winning yet? Are you tired of winning yet?
That's my favorite Brandon clip ever.
Not one second.
U.S. District Judge Naomi Rees Buchwald in Manhattan.
Buchwald?
Well, you know, I got to add a little something to it.
That sounded real bougie.
See, I've had two shows where the drink's in me already.
I wish I had that name.
You could. It only costs like $400 to change
your
name.
You can make your name whatever you want.
Buchwald.
Brandon Buchwald.
In Manhattan, issued a ruling last week in a lawsuit brought by the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University on behalf of 7 Twitter users. They had been blocked by Donald Trump after replying to his tweets. Took him to court. The judge said, quote, "This case requires us to consider whether a public official may, consistent with the First Amendment, block a person from his Twitter account in response to the political views that person has expressed, and whether the analysis differs because that public official is the President of the United States. The answer to both questions is no."
2018, y'all.
The judge said...
Are you sure?
You blocked me. I'm taking your ass to court.
Right? So the judge said that the comments section of Trump's personal account at Real Donald Trump is public forum, and that blocking users on the basis of political speech is a violation of their free speech rights under the First Amendment.
I'm like, all right.
The judge made some comment too that about like she didn't hand down a ruling over whether or not he had to like unblock all of those people because. Because she felt that the ruling that was handed down should be enough to change the behavior. Have you met at Real Donald Trump?
You fired.
Right?
Becca, this one's for you. 2 weeks ago, we talked with author and screenwriter Tony Duchesne. Amazing, amazing interview. I think that's my favorite episode ever.
Yeah.
About his experiences growing up in the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we've shared this before, the culture of shaming and shunning. I don't know how I missed this when it happened, but back in February, this may have caught your attention, but it missed me. In February, Lauren Stewart, an ex-JW, committed a gruesome triple murder suicide in their home outside of Detroit.
No, I hadn't seen this.
Oh. Kego Harbor police officers arrived at the home to find Lauren and her husband Daniel dead, along with their 2 children, Stephen, 27, and Bethany, 24. Even the family dog had been killed.
Holy shit.
Even the dog?
Even the dog.
They took a dog all the way.
Police said they found 2 notes, one addressed to the medical examiner, the other a suicide note. I'm going to read it.
Okay, wait. The wife did this?
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to read the note because it speaks to the religious motivators, but again, if this is something that you need to skip, please skip. "I allowed evil into my heart when I chose not to accept God's free love, and it made me sick inside. I killed my family because I know my death would stumble them. At least now they will not suffer and will be resurrected into love forever in peace."
She's a piece of shit.
Amen.
Let me suffer.
I kill my family because they're not gonna be able to handle my death.
Right?
Maybe you
How
just
dare
need...
you?
How narcissistic.
Well, wait a minute. Right? Wait a minute.
Maybe we didn't like you anyway.
There's a Jehovah perspective we're missing.
I want to hear the rest of this and then I'll explain it. I'll break it down for you.
She just put herself so high on that telephone.
No, seriously. Okay. No, I know where this is going. So
later, a text message to a cousin on February 15th surfaced that said, "I took my husband and kids with me so they don't have to feel my selfish act. They will sleep until Christ resurrects them. I truly hope you do better where I have failed." I'm about to go into the response from a family friend who and I have a video of that. Do you want me to do that first, or do you want to interject here?
Well, okay. So it sounds to me like she was planning on killing herself.
Right.
Now, in the Jehovah's Witness faith, suicide is like a big, huge, like it's frowned on. If you commit suicide, you can't even have your funeral in the Kingdom Hall. You can't have your Jehovah's blessing is taken away from you. So you like they truly believe that most people that commit suicide will not be resurrected into their paradise at the end after Armageddon. So suicide is like the equivalent to I guess leaving the faith, because you're it's like you're
and she had already left the faith.
You're too, basically like, saying fuck you, Jehovah.
Right.
I'm going to just do this and it's a selfish act and it's all this stuff. So if the way that read to me was she got it in her head that she was going to commit suicide, but then started to think about how that would affect her family.
Right.
The families of...
And rather than like, okay, I just won't kill myself.
Right. But the families of people in the organization that commit suicide have a really hard road after these events, because Jehovah's Witnesses are not known for being great grief counselors to begin with. And then because of the added, like, what's the stigma? Yes. Of suicide. It's just hard for your rank and file Jehovah's Witness to be comforting or anything. So what they tend to do, instead of trying to be comforting to somebody who's just had their family member commit suicide, they just avoid that person altogether. So when you go to the meetings and you're sitting there, so these kids and the husband, had they not been killed, they would have gone to the meetings looking for, you know, support and love, and they would not have gotten it.
Right.
There might be like a few that might try and reach beyond that uncomfortable awkwardness, but for the most part, witnesses are very bad about comforting when anybody dies, like, because their go-to is, oh, well, you'll see them after the resurrection. But when it's somebody who commits suicide, they don't believe that that's the case. So there's nothing you can say to make somebody feel better. So instead of trying, they just go somewhere else and talk to somebody else. It's really weird. I've seen it, and it's really weird.
I'm sorry your husband died, but you'll see him after the resurrection.
Right. Well, the mortgage is due this week, so I need to see him today. So if we could all get our thoughts and prayers together, because I got to pay these bills.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
So that's probably, that was her like thinking was, they're going to suffer enough because I'm going to kill myself, and then add to that.
Right.
This, and now it would just be so much easier.
Yep.
Right. All she could have done is got herself a nice insurance plan, killed herself, and left a bunch of money to her family.
You know
But no, it doesn't. The emotional damage would have still been there, because these people are brainwashed into
as terrible as that sounds, Michael, it is 2018, and just because you did, people still got bills to pay.
That's right.
I'm sorry, I have to side with Michael on that one. The least you could have did is made sure the lights stayed on. You cut yours out, don't cut mine out.
$250,000. I can pay off the house.
You're making it real hard to take your side.
Okay, moving on.
The other way is mourn.
So
this is a sad story, and we're laughing, and I'm feeling really, really bad about it.
Yeah, okay. So family friend Joyce Taylor, who is a 3-decade XJW, explained that the family was once devout members of a local Kingdom Hall until about 5 years ago, when they were shunned because they chose to send their children to college.
Oh, fucking kidding me? That's...
Okay.
Wow.
That very Sunday, Joyce went on down to that local Kingdom Hall to exercise her First Amendment right, and we are going to watch that
Joyce.
Now.
You go, Joyce. My spirit animal.
Now, this is, I will tell you, this is, it's a little hard to hear some of the voices. So I'm going to mute our mics.
What city is this again?
I don't know.
Texas?
Did I say it was in
Mississippi, Arkansas?
I don't remember. You might not have.
No, I did. Kego Harbor, Detroit. Right okay. outside of Detroit.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So I'm going to mute our microphones because there's a lot of crosstalk right. and noise in the video, and I don't want you to miss that.
Excuse me, everyone. My name is Joyce Taylor. Please excuse the intrusion. I'll only be a moment. No, you cannot touch me. You cannot touch me. Two days ago. You're away for a minute.
No, we may have
2 days ago. You can call the police. Please do. Dana Lawrence Stewart died. Four people died as a result of your shunning process.
Can we go in the back and talk?
No.
So already they have the minute she stood up, mm-hmm. all the elders bulldogs. Yeah came running to silence her. Can we go in the back and talk?
Hashtag, no.
And one guy grabbed her
and
don't like he grabbed her. They're not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
5 years ago, all of you pulled your support from this small family. Do not touch me.
So she's up on a chair at this
Fuck
point.
Yeah, I like her.
Right? Stood up on a chair. You're going to fucking listen
That's
to me.
That's my kind of girl. Do not touch me.
Mm-hmm.
The only supports they ever had was you people. And you turned them away and you shunned them. For what? Because they wanted to raise their children and they saw fit. Jesus said.
The police are
on
their way.
That you did this to release your mind. You did it to me. Let that sink in. Do any of you realize just how fragile the human psyche is? I hope in your prayers today you will find that in your heart. Ask forgiveness for what you guys did. This is terrible.
We need to be careful
getting there.
And so they went so far as to say, like, oh, be careful getting off the chair. And what's about to happen, so she's going to walk out, and then the guy taking the video has a conversation with one of these guys that's just sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. You'll just have to hear it.
Do not touch me. Thank you, everyone.
That's quite unusual.
Well, protected First Amendment.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, she did nothing illegal.
Dan and Laura Stewart are dead! Your two children are dead! They are dead!
Do not touch me!
Man, this is going to be interesting in my essay.
I think she's leaving. Your first day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's first day.
I can't talk about it after.
Sorry about the interruption.
Yeah, I've seen more interesting things.
They said they'd be canceled.
It's quite calm here.
Well, I guess they're going to cancel the meeting instead.
We'll see.
Yeah. Because she left now, I don't know.
All right, well, I'll cut the end of that. Good for her.
That voice sounded really familiar. I'm trying to figure if that is a video I follow, a video of YouTuber I follow. I don't know.
Well, this is posted on the YouTube of Joyce Taylor, who is the
right
family friend.
Yeah, I don't know.
I want to be her friend.
And me too.
She was channeling my deity, Maxine Waters. I was literally waiting for her just 1 second.
Was that the white Maxine Waters movie?
I think so.
What he failed to tell you was, when you're on my time, I can reclaim it. He left that out, so I'm reclaiming my time. Please.
This one's for you, Joyce.
So my favorite line of that was like, you pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
You people did this to her. Now, more evidence is coming out that supports this notion that the church's shunning policy played a role in the murder-suicide. A report published by the Detroit Free Press said, According to police records and interviews with family, friends, and neighbors, Stewart battled many problems, including depression, ostracism from the Jehovah's Witness Church, and mental scars stemming from alleged sexual abuse as a child. Police reports say that it was a relative, but it's not clear whether that was church-related. It continues, these factors combined, police believe, led Stewart to cave to despair on a February weekday when she fatally shot her son, daughter, and husband using pillows to suppress the sound before shooting herself between the eyes.
Whoa.
When police contacted Stewart's father, he told them he hadn't spoken to his daughter in many years and that her husband Dan had pulled her away from the rest of the family. Her sister, that hadn't spoken to her in 6 years either, shared their father's view. A police statement said the sister showed a very solemn and somber demeanor when she spoke and stated that she is not sad for Lauren and her family, and that when she heard the news of her sister's actions, she was not surprised in the slightest. She also said that Stewart had been deemed apostasy for speaking out against the Jehovah's Witnesses and leaving the organization. Several news reports said that police believe she suffered from depression and other mental health issues, but that she had not seen any professional counselors or doctors, took no prescriptions, and didn't have alcohol in her system. They talk about how she went on this downward spiral into her own like version of religion, and neighbors commented that she became more religious after leaving the JW and would go on these long like religious rants. This is a woman that needed help. Again, like, go get you some secular therapy. Right. Go see a doctor. And if you're listening to this and you're struggling with depression, thoughts of suicide, or just need someone to talk to, please ask for help. We run the Trevor Project PSAs on the show during our breaks. Mm-hmm. You can call the Trans Lifeline. We'll put all of that information. You can find that stuff on our website. But please, if you're hurting, if you need help, please get the help you need.
And, you know, I had in one of my XJW groups, there was actually somebody that reached out the other day. So if you don't know about this, if you do have health insurance through your company, look into the EAP program.
Yeah.
Because I know with therapy, it can get expensive. And this was what one person was dealing with. He wasn't sure if it was going to work and he didn't want to throw money away. And so I shot him a message. I'm like, hey, if you have health insurance, check out EAP.
Yeah.
Because you can get up to 6 free visits. And then that'll give you an idea as to whether or not it's helping. So definitely look into what your resources are. And if you're not sure what your resources are, there's tons of places where you can, you know, get a hold of people that can help you walk through that stuff.
Right. Okay. Moving on. We have 2 things left. And then we're done and it's good because it's late.
No, it's early. It's only 8:00.
Yeah, okay. The next story is muted.
Dramatic pause. God
damn it.
The next story.
The next story. You all know how I feel about sports ball in general. Don't get it. I don't care about it. I don't understand why you care so much about it. I don't care why you care so much about it.
I love footskitball.
And I'd rather you spend your money on something more useful than a $100 fucking jersey. But the NFL is back in the news with this whole kneeling thing that Colin Kaepernick set off last year. So let's get our tribes separated up again. Half of you think that kneeling is a respectful First Amendment protected protest of inequality and discrimination and violence against people of color that is systemic in America. That's me. You say that peaceful protest like this brings visibility to an issue in our culture that desperately needs addressed. In the other corner, we have half of you that think kneeling is disrespectful, that these people aren't patriotic, or even that they hate America, or this one's great, that they're at work, and if I did something like that at work, well, I'd get fired. They argue that the NFL has the right as a private company to make up a rule that says thou shalt stand for the anthem. And again, my position is the kneeling doesn't bother me. I think the message is right. I think that sort of patriotism is actually a little disgusting. The symbolism just doesn't do anything for me. It's a fucking flag. Every other country has one too. We have a special song. Every other country has one too. One isn't any better or more special than another. Actually, I kind of like Canada's anthem, to be honest. Okay. Especially with the recent change.
Just like you like Canada's sport
choice. I do. Okay.
Not hockey,
so,
people. I know, everybody got excited.
So now, I don't mind hockey. Hockey's great. So now the NFL has announced a new national anthem resolution that will take effect this season. The new policy requires players to stand if they are on the field during the anthem, but gives them the option to remain in the locker room if they prefer. It also subjects teams to a fine if a player or other team personnel do not show respect for the anthem, including any attempt to sit or kneel. So you can protest, but you just got to not be anywhere where we can see you. Please go away.
It's such bullshit.
Why can't they just sit down if they don't want to stand up?
So we're going to get into some of the reasons why this happened. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said the vote was unanimous among owners, although two owners, Mark Davis of the Oakland Raiders and Jed York of the San Francisco 49ers, said they abstained from the vote completely, and three other teams have indicated publicly that they actually don't support the new policy.
Well, then how is it unanimous?
ESPN reported. Actually, I actually had to type in ESPN.com, y'all, to do research. Can you believe
this? The world is coming to an end.
That's gross.
ESPN reported that the league did not take a formal roll call vote, instead asking for a show of hands from league owners. Chris Johnson, chair of the New York Jets, said he would pay fines imposed on his players under the new national anthem policy. For good for you. But that's the thing. If you're in a room and they say, who's not a racist? Well, everybody's going to put their fucking hand in the air.
Right?
I've got one black friend.
Right.
I love it when
I've never seen him not with a dust mop in my home, but we're friends.
Another interesting factor here, Donald Trump weighed heavily in the conversation. Trump, of course, has been vocal in the national debate, probably the starting point of this anti-patriotic message.
Which is hilarious to me, because I thought he was going to make America great again.
No, he is, because we're all going to have to salute the flag like North fucking Korea.
That's not America. That's communism.
Last year, he said that kneeling players are, quote, sons of bitches and should be fired. In fact, his response to this new policy was, quote, I don't think people should be staying in locker rooms, but I still think it's a good idea. I think it's good. You have to stand proudly for the national anthem. You shouldn't be playing. You shouldn't be there. Maybe they shouldn't be in the country. And on Fox and Friends, Trump, claiming some credit, said, I brought it out. I think the people pushed it forward. Some owners said that how Trump will respond was definitely part of the decision-making. Packers president Mark Murphy said it was more how he might react and anticipating that. Also, how the fans will react, how the media will react. That's what we tried to think through. No matter what we did, Trump would probably try to get involved one way or the other, either criticizing us or taking credit for the change. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said that Trump certainly initiated some of the thinking and was part of the entire picture, but all of that was given consideration. But it should also be noted that Jones has donated money to Trump, along with Patriots Robert Kraft, Redskins, and can we please get rid of these racist fucking team names? I just pissed off another section of our audience. Redskins' Dan Snyder, Jaguars' Shad Khan, Texans' Bob McNair, whatever the fuck his name is, Rams' Stan Kroenke, these names are so difficult, Browns' Jimmy Haslam, Buccaneers' Edward Glazer, and then Jets' owner Woody Johnson. Nothing for Woody Johnson? Okay, crickets. I have read so many divided comments on social media about this. And in that camp number two that I described, one of these arguments is that this is all about money. Okay?
Most of the time, it's always about
money. A simple financial business decision because the NFL lost a shit ton of money over this issue. And that's true to a point. They lost some business. But also, what does that say about your fans? Does it demonstrate that many of your fans don't understand the issue of systemic racism, or that they simply put blind patriotism above all else? And isn't that a fucking problem?
Or what does it say about your marketing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I grew up in an NFL home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were, like, divided. Huh?
You can't have Christmas, but you can have the Redskins.
That was my team, embarrassingly enough. Like, my dad and my brother, hardcore Chicago Bear fans.
Jesus didn't watch football.
My mom is a New England Patriots fan, and I was, like, the Redskin fan because my favorite uncle was the Redskin fan. So, whatever. But we watched every game. We had a family tally. You could say, okay, I'm going to predict who's going to win this game by however many points. Mm-hmm. And there was and it was stupid, but it was something that we would bond over. Right. But I mean, I remember the Bears were not really a good team and the Redskins were worse.
What was it, 1980?
83 or 87 or something. Like, I bought my dad for
Super Bowl Shuffle. That's what I remember about the Bears. I grew up in Illinois.
I bought my dad the plaque. It was a plaque with the picture of that team and the roster on it one year for some reason.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't Christmas or birthday. But, like, I remember, like, he had all this Chicago Bears stuff all over the house. He had a whole duffel bag that came out during football season, and it was like blankets and chair throws and special coasters, and like, you want to talk about somebody who's not supposed to be idolizing something.
Uh-huh.
But the NFL just threw up in the room.
Yeah. But I mean, I learned very early the difference between a hardcore diehard fan and they're having a good season, I'm gonna go down to the Dolphin, because we lived in South Florida too. So you had these fair weather Dolphin fans, and the Dolphins weren't that great either. And then it's just so weird because we would go to the games.
That's hard because Florida doesn't have a lot of fair weather.
Fine. So, but like, that's the thing. Like, there's two types of football fans, and it's the hardcore, I'm there for my team, even when we're losing.
Right.
And then there's the ones that are like, oh, I'm only going to show up when everything's going good.
Sure.
And these people that were out there burning their jerseys, like, that's not a cheap jersey, but those were the fans that probably, like, only really bragged about being fans when they were having a good season, right?
Right.
But I think the hardcore fans, the true hardcore fans, if they are there for their team, they're going to actually want to feel what these players are feeling. And these players are trying to stand up for their right to exist. Yeah. Fairly, for their right and all and every, you know, like, like it, this the message they're trying to send.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can't speak for white people because I don't agree with half of the things these fans have been saying. Like, right. I mean, you know, they're getting vicious, and it's like, just take a minute and step back and try to reverse those roles and think about how you would feel if you were in this situation
you're taking
watching
me out of my comfort zone.
Yep.
Don't ask me to come out of my comfort zone. How dare you?
Exactly. And mm-hmm. they can't do it, and they won't do it.
Dig their heels in. Yeah.
And it's
they don't
not
appreciate
like,
everything this country's done for them.
One of my favorite tweets out of this whole thing that I saw, somebody said something like, well, I hope the guy filling the popcorn buckets and serving the fucking, you know, the $10 beer and the $8 hot dogs stops fucking working and puts his hand over his heart too when they play that damn song. And I hope the camera guy quits doing his job so that he can stand up and salute the flag. And no, it's only the players. See, because they're the ones who are visible and they're the ones who are causing the problem.
And they're the ones who are marketable.
Mm-hmm. So I think that the NFL could have handled this a lot better way back in the days of Colin Kaepernick.
Okay. Right.
Or handled it at all instead of letting it just explode and become a complete shitstorm.
And the thing that gets me about that is he did, for his part, he did everything exactly the right way.
Of course he did.
He went and invested time. He talked to people who were servicemen.
Yep.
He got their opinions. You know, like,
But he made one mistake. he's a black man in America.
Right, mm-hmm. right, exactly.
So everything but else that he did,
it didn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And it's disgusting to me.
So consider this. You're a team owner. You're a fan. A lot of the players are people of color. Don't right? know if you knew that or not.
That's the
Don't
that's
know if you knew that or not. But many of them came from experiences where they witnessed or personally experienced that discrimination. They've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
The inequality, the violence in their own communities. And now they're finally in a position as national football figures.
Mm-hmm.
They're finally in a position to stand up on a step and say, this is a fucking problem. You wouldn't have listened to me when I was a nobody. But
they would have gotten shot when right. they were a nobody.
But now that I'm in this position where there's some visibility, I got to speak up for my people.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anybody would do that.
The NFL could have donated to charities that support those communities.
Yeah.
They could have come out and publicly agreed with the message. They could have created new athletic scholarships for people of color. There's a gazillion things they could have done to support the message that was mm-hmm. the movement, and they didn't. They let it fester. They let it happen, and now they're saying you have to stand. That's what I think.
It almost makes me wonder who's in charge of marketing at the NFL.
Because
mm-hmm. I mean, like that's a gold mine right there. To say that we too support you and your choices in this free country right? to mm-hmm. express yourself in any way, shape, or form that you choose.
Yes.
And as the NFL, an America-loving company, we will support the Americans in any way they choose to show their patriotism. Just saying, I never went to school for marketing, but I mean, this is so simple.
Have you seen the commercials by Procter & Gamble? For the Olympic commercials and oh my God. Can mm-hmm. you imagine an NFL commercial kind of on those lines where it's real like tug at your heartstrings, mm-hmm. kind of like, you know what? I know you grew up in the hood, but we're going to support you. We're going to rally together. Mm-hmm. We're going to use our community. And then you're going to turn it around and now you're going to give back to that community that you came from.
Yeah. Correct.
And make it about community.
Yeah.
And make it about giving back and make it about pulling those resources for every child mm-hmm. that grows up in a situation that is less than favorable because of where they come from. Because they didn't choose the skin they were born in. They didn't choose the family dynamic they have. They didn't choose whether or not they're on this side of the tracks or that side, or whether they're in the big house or the little house. Like, these are our kids and we're molding them into our future. And it's scary when you have the big orange mango in the White House and the NFL is scared of him. So they're going to just roll over because all of the money people.
Right. And so the thing about the money that I find interesting is that there's this thought out there that like, oh, we have to appease these fucking racists because the old white people are the ones with the money and they're the ones that are not coming to our games right now. And that's why we're fucking, you know, tanking.
Maybe if you didn't.
Which, okay, but no, but here's the thing. Like, again, like I said, like you're choosing your audience, first of all. But also look at other companies who have come out with diverse, inclusive messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go to Disney because we're all here. You know, Disney has often come out and supported the queer community. In things that were filed in our legislature here in Florida about adding sexual orientation and gender identity to make sure that those things are protected in the workplace, all of the major companies that are in operation in Florida came to the legislature and said, this is good for business. We want a diverse group of people because that is good for our business. They've figured it out. The NFL hasn't.
Well, I'm still got beef with Disney. They haven't given Elsa a girlfriend yet.
Well,
so.
Whatever. Okay. Let's finish this up. We're going to do the final segment here. And thank you guys for hanging out. It's been a long road here, I know. So let's wrap up the show tonight with everyone's favorite segment. The best stories always start with...
A Florida man.
A Florida man. Into the microphone, Michael.
A man from Florida.
No.
I was going to let Brandon say it. It's not from Florida.
No, an interloper.
Oh, an interloper.
We have an interloper this week.
A poser. Trying to pretend they're from Florida.
An Ohio man.
Whoa.
Had placed a revolver in the broiler area of the oven for safekeeping.
Whoa. Oh,
a woman who lives in the home. It's funny that you guys know why that's a problem, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A woman who
also
lives in the home started using the oven to cook.
The broiler
when
of the oven.
The gun went off. Hold on.
It was loaded. I mean, ammunition gets hot, right?
Detective Wayne Mackey of the Warren Police Department said, quote, he had heard the gun go off and realized what was happening, and he obviously didn't want anyone to get hurt, so he attempted to get up underneath there and get the gun out from underneath, but it was already too late, and it was too hot, and the gun continued to go off. The man was shot twice, but is expected to be all right. Kids, that little drawer under your oven isn't necessarily for storage. Okay. Now, in some models... In some models, they do have a storage drawer,
but
in most models, that's a warmer or a broiler,
right?
And you're supposed to put food in it
when you're cooking
not
multiple dishes.
Shit.
You pull it out of the oven, pop it down in the bottom, pop the next dish in.
It's for food.
Yeah, you know for food.
You guys, not for guns.
You guys are crazy. That's where I put all my guns, and I have never been shot. All right,
you almost got shot, but not by a gun in the broiler.
No, it was from the member of the royal family of Caucasia.
Of Caucasia.
Yeah, I'm running.
Oh, stop
with
it! Tell us that story.
I'm running with that one.
Tell us that story.
Okay, so
wait, this is a Florida man.
I know. Yeah.
This is a Florida man story. So driving in the car, possibly doing the speed limit. I'm not going to admit to anything. And I get off on the on ramp, and I'm waiting to turn. It's a red light. Just runs right into the back of me, and I'm looking up in my rearview mirror watching him run into me. And so I had my little dramatic fit because, I'm homosexual, so, I have to freak the fuck out in the car before I get out. So once I've calmed down, I get up, get out of the car, and I immediately walk to look at my bumper. I'm just kind of examining my bumper, and he gets out of his car, looks at me, does a double take, reaches back in his car, and pulls out his gun. Then looks at me again, and the only thing I could utter is, are you fucking kidding me? Well, I thought you were going to be mad. You just fucking ran into me.
Right.
And, typically when I get rammed from behind, I actually have a say in it, so not really thrilled about it. So he's just holding his gun, and he's like, well, if we could just talk about it, well, I'm going to need you to put that down.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to need you to calm down, sir. Okay, first of all, let's rewind here. You hit me, but I'm at fault for being angry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. So when the state trooper arrives, because the guy behind him called 911 the minute he saw a gun, which...
Good for him.
Kind of glad he did, because I'm like...
Good for him.
I was going to look real sexy in that casket. It was going to happen.
Also, you're a black man on the side of the road when the police roll up.
God,
it's flip a coin.
It had nothing
to
do with me being silly girl. Black man. Nobody saw color that day.
That's right. Color. They're colorblind. That's right.
So the cop comes and he's like, get down on the ground. So, silly me. Nobody sees color. I'm like, why the fuck am I getting on the ground? What the fuck? I worked too fucking hard for this. And they're looking, sir, not you.
Well, that's great.
Oh.
Sorry, I'm just kind of used to that.
I thought that's how the protocol went. So hands up. No, okay, cool. And so, the female cop comes over and she says, are you okay? No.
No.
No, I'm not okay.
Now, this motherfucker pulled a gun on me.
Would you like to
take him to jail?
About it? No. Well, what would you like us to do? Take that fucking thing away from him.
Yes.
The gun and the license. He doesn't need that. And then his wife gets out the car. Do you see? He's angry. He's an angry man. And I'm like, lady, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. I just woke up. Because I'm a night nurse. I just woke the fuck up. All right. I was on my way to go get a massage. Now I am more stressed out.
Right.
Than the remaining hairs on Donald Trump's head. But I'm the angry one. I'm in a pair of flip-flops. I'm ashy. I got bags under my eyes. This one's Gucci. That one's Louis Vuitton. But I'm angry. And like, I'm looking at her and I'm like, do you fucking hear yourself? You just ran into me.
Right. You hit me and you're worried that I'm angry.
Well,
no shit.
Black anger scares people.
Oh, sure.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, there was no damage done to your car. And I said, there would have been no damage in this situation if there was no gun. Because I literally looked at my bumper and I'm like, oh, nothing
yeah,
wrong
okay,
with that.
Fine.
Whatever, you know, thoughts and prayers. Don't suck at driving next time. Get in the car and go away. But then you pull a gun out on me.
Did you say that?
Yeah.
And, oh, I love you. Thank you.
And also, yeah. By the way, I didn't call the cops on you.
No.
That guy did.
I didn't fucking move. I wasn't pulling out a bag of Skittles. I wasn't pulling out a cell phone. I was not going to fucking move because the minute I moved, well, he had a gun.
Yep.
He had a gun. Oh, it's just a bag of condoms. Never mind. Sorry. And I don't want to be that guy like hashtag condom, right. Condom lives matter. Like, I don't want to be that guy. If I'm going to die, I want to die at least looking decent. But like this, just the frustrating part about it was, well, we thought you were going to be mad. Well, why wouldn't I be mad? The right. Average person, any person would be mad. Well, we didn't want you to hurt us, but you almost killed me.
Right.
And so, you know, the cop is like, well, I know a number for a therapist. And I was like, nah, that's what I do for a living. I don't need that. They're going to tell me it's going to be okay, that I'm glad to be alive, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. But they're missing the whole point.
Yep.
Because of things that I can't change, you pulled a gun on me. I didn't say anything nasty to you. I didn't threaten you. I didn't even move past the bumper of my vehicle.
I didn't even hit your car.
Right.
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 Like, I didn't move past the bumper of my vehicle. So it's not like I charged at you because, let's face it, I don't voluntarily run for or from anything. That's way too. No, he wasn't old. He had to have been like 40 something. I mean, okay, he's a little preggers, but he had to have been like 40 something. So it literally looked like two fat old men running around in a circle trying to catch each other. I'm not chasing anybody. And the frustrating part was, is no one, he couldn't see what I was trying to say. You hit my car. I get to be angry.
Right. Right. There's an empathy like, thing.
You're
there.
Inconveniencing
like,
me.
Right. Like, and like, not like minor inconvenience, like you're slow in the checkout lane in the yeah. supermarket.
Right. This is a big deal. This like, is thousands of dollars
your
possibly.
Your vehicle ran into my vehicle, which is going to cost me a lot of money that you don't have to give me. But I'm not supposed to be angry about, well, you could have handled it a better way. You didn't need to shout and raise your voice. Well, I'm shouting and raising my voice now that the gun's out of your hand, because I'm real pretty, but I'm real smart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to yell at someone who's clearly not good at handling stressful situations. Even though I still don't understand what's stressful about me getting out of a vehicle.
Right.
To look at damage that they caused.
And looking at
right.
the bumper that you just ran into. And it was like, from him to the cop to his wife, it's like, you all are not understanding my point. I don't care that he ran into the car. I can right. get a new car. Can't get a new me.
Yep.
That's the issue I'm having.
Right.
And it wasn't because I thought you were angry.
And there's, so the empathy piece of this, right? It's, as we've talked in many of these stories, flip the fucking script. If I had hit your car.
Right.
Right. And you got out and I was like, oh, fuck. Angry, better get my gun.
Right.
Right.
You went to jail.
Then it was, right. Oh my God, we need gun control. They're just pulling guns on everybody. I don't know what's happening in
another
those urban
black
neighborhoods.
Man with a gun. Yep, you got it.
Due to the lack of understanding on the cop's behalf, I'm going to assume that she was also Caucasian.
From the land of Caucasian.
Okay. Just making sure.
Well, and you know, I give her credit for attempting.
Mm.
She did try poorly, but she did try. Well, I think if you speak to a therapist, they can help you get to the root cause. Yeah, the root cause is he pulled a gun on me because I was angry.
Like, what were you doing that made him think you were angry?
I got out of the car.
That's it.
Right. That's it.
So why did they say you didn't have to scream or yell if you didn't scream or yell?
You scream and yell a little bit when you got out of the car?
Black skin is angry and it screams and it yells.
I just don't...
Well, and like that,
I have never been intimidated by a black person in my life.
That's what I'm saying. I've only been intimidated by American Express. Please stop calling me.
Like, I just don't understand that.
You didn't say anything when you got out.
No, because I screamed in the car.
Right.
I freaked out in the car because I'm thinking, holy fuck, there goes my day.
Because you don't know what you're getting out to look at.
Right, like it's that initial anxiety.
Right.
And so as I get out of the car, I'm walking, I look at the bumper and I'm like, well, that's nothing. And then to look up and go, oh, well, there's a gun. Well, that's different. What a great fucking Saturday this is. Or Friday. One of those. I don't even know what day it was.
Yeah, it was Saturday.
And so.
Because you were supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And on that note. So we're glad you're okay.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And don't put your gun in the broiler. Okay. The next story. A Florida sheriff's deputy was arrested for shoplifting at a Walmart in Lauderdale Lakes while in uniform.
This is my former area code or zip code.
Deputy Henry Guzman is a 13-year veteran of the department. Investigators said over the course of 3 days, he entered the Walmart and stole DVDs and Star Wars action figures totaling around $200. He was charged with 3 misdemeanor counts of petty theft and taken to Broward County Jail, but has since bonded out. He's been suspended with pay, which apparently he needs if he's sunken down to the level of shoplifting at Walmart, of all places. But
wow, let's go to Target.
Right? But he's expected to then be suspended without pay after the state's attorney's office files formal charges.
Wow.
In other Walmart hijinks news, a Florida couple stole a motorized shopping cart from a Largo Walmart and took it on a joyride down the street to a nearby dive bar. Jeffrey Sabiel and Santa Walters took the scooter and cruised a mile west to Jimmy's Sports Bar. They were arrested and charged.
Why not just walk?
Well, wait. I want to know how they got that far, because I've used those Walmart scooters, and their battery, you barely get through the store.
Right. That's fantastic.
They got a mile down.
They made
the road.
It. They were arrested and charged with grand theft, released on $2,000 bond.
Was the scooter returned to the Walmart, or are they short one? Because that's a big problem in Walmart. They never have enough scooters.
That's awful.
Right?
Like, was one riding in the basket?
And like, police went into the bar and were like, so. You stole the golf cart. They're the scooter, right? You stole the scooter, and they're like, no,
it wasn't
us. We didn't steal. We didn't steal no scooter. But then eventually they fessed up.
Well, they have video camera footage. It wouldn't have been hard to.
It's like no, that wasn't a question.
All right, the last story tonight. A whole Florida city is in the running. Around 1:45 a.m. Sunday, May 20th, the city of Lake Worth sent out an odd cell phone alert to residents during a power outage. Nuclear missile inbound? Volcano evacuation? No. Power outage and zombie alert for residents of Lake Worth and Terminus. There are now far less than 7,380 customers involved due to extreme zombie activity.
Mm-mm.
Restoration time uncertain.
Mm.
Now, I didn't know this. I did research. Terminus is a city in the show The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which I don't watch.
I don't either.
Lake Worth spokesperson Ben Kerr told the Palm Beach Post that an independent investigation is underway to determine who was behind the message to send some 7,880 customers. The power outage lasted 27 minutes. No word on the zombies.
You know what? I'm moving to Caucasia. Fuck this place.
So your choices tonight. Should we let the Ohio man compete?
I don't know. I mean, it's.
Let's not discriminate based on state.
Okay, let's let Ohio man compete. Ohio man, too hot to handgun. Shoplifter sheriff. Let's scoot on down to the bar, babe. Or red alert zombies.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Your choices.
Oh, I'll win.
Get into the microphone.
Please. microphone.
Michael, Ohio. Get in there. Get in.
All the way deep.
Ohio?
Ohio, for sure. I mean, you don't put your freaking guns in the freaking oven, butt okay. fucker.
Brandon?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Ohio. How fucking stupid could you be?
Yeah, Ohio really? Man is going to take on Florida.
Mind you, Florida,
man.
That is not a challenge. Not a challenge.
Florida's like, hold my beer. I don't know. I think I really think the scooter thing is really hilarious because were they already drunk when they decided to do this? You kind of almost have to be.
But then I feel like, wouldn't they deserve a DUI then?
Not if they were
driving while drunk.
Not if they were not driving on the road. If they were driving on the road, then yes. But if they're on the sidewalk, then I don't think it's...
I have to loop the music because you guys talk too loud.
But sidewalk lives matter.
I understand, but the sidewalks aren't governed by...
Ruben.
Okay.
What's your name? Sarah didn't vote yet.
We'll leave it to the listeners.
Name? I totally almost called her a different name, and I don't have a clue why.
We'll leave it to the listeners to decide.
I'm not telling you that.
Yeah. Brandon, thank you for coming in tonight.
Anytime, I come when I want to.
Yeah, that's the truth. Yeah, Brandon.
Most time late.
You used to work with me.
This is true.
Brandon, your shift's at 1. I'll be there at 1:30.
Yeah,
you'll
be
late.
Be
I'm never late.
Michael, thank you for coming in.
Of course.
Appreciate it.
No.
It was a long night of a double episode. And
I love being double-ized.
Well, there you go.
Double-ized.
And long nights.
And double your pleasure, double the fun.
On that note.
Oh, God. Thank you to our wonderful
miss
patrons.
You guys.
Over at, right? Let's do this again sometime soon. Our patrons are part-time patron Russell, Andrea, Josie, Harry, The Wayward Willis Podcast, Mandy, Stacy, Megan, AJ, Eric, and I Never Saw That Podcast. You can become a patron at patreon.com/SarahTalk. Go to SarahTalk.com for all things Sarah Talk. I've added the link to our bookstore, so you can now get to the books that we talk about on the show. Print out a flat Jesus. Please send us pictures of your flat Jesus doing all sorts of inappropriate things. And join our Facebook discussion group to talk about topics we discuss on this episode and more. 8 p.m. Eastern Saturday, we will be back here live on Facebook. Follow the Sarah Talk page to get live notifications and be part of the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. You've been listening to Sarah Talk. We're done. What?
You cunt.
What did you want to say?
I wanted to say, if you're not a patron, please become a patron because we need a fourth microphone.
It's true.
Yeah, because I hate Sharon.
You hate
What's wrong
Sharon?
With Sharon?
That is
Sharon?
Not what I was
what
told.
What did she do to you? I know you hate vaginas, but Jesus.
I hate vagina. They make me vomit.
Careful, make sure you pronounce that hate, because if you don't pronounce the H, it sounds like you said eight.
That would be absolutely wrong.
There's nothing wrong with vaginas except everything.
Lord.
Sarah Talk is made possible by listener support. Visit patreon.com/SarahTalk to become a patron and help keep this program going. Contact Sarah and company by email at producer@SarahTalk.com or call 224-40-SARAH. That's 224-407-2724. And follow us on social media, facebook.com/SarahTalkRadio and on Twitter @SarahTalkRadio. Sarah Talk is a production of Sarah Austin Media.